Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee.
All right. Welcome you back. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 15 today. Before we jump in here, I'm going to have Anna come. She's just sharing a testimony with me. And I think it's important to celebrate some of those things together. And so, there you go.
Okay. Never done this before, so. We've had a really interesting last month of just some up and downs. We apparently forgot to submit a form to Doane College, and they contacted us about a month into the semester and said, you have about an $8,000 bill, and we are living on my education budget. We don't have that money at all. So we submitted the form again. They said, we'll see if it comes back in time, but for right now, you need to pay $500 up front, which is also really tight. But because we do the Dave Ramsey thing, we have our emergency fund pulled out of that, and was just kind of doing one of those, really hope the car doesn't break down this week as well, and I hope everything just works together. And then 4 days later, I'm doing that thing where I'm like, I know God will provide, I know he will provide, but there's still that fear in my heart of, I just really don't want this to fall apart. But 4 days later, Don emailed Matthew and said, in January, we sent you a check for $600, but you never actually cashed it. Can we resend that to you? And will you cash it now? So it was just this testimony, this beautiful thing of him providing for us 7 months before we knew we needed it and kind of holding that back so that when we needed it, it was there. It was just a Jesus, praise Jesus moment, bawling in the car. So, yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Anna. God is watching out over us, isn't he? Amen. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 15, and that ties in well with the message today. And we've been working our way through the book of Matthew. So some of the last few messages we did, Jesus walking on the water, the feeding of the 5,000. Last week, we looked at clean and unclean, just how people perceived that they were righteous and clean because they followed traditions and rules, man-made ones. But Jesus said it was all a matter of the heart. And so Jesus is in that area of the Sea of Galilee. So I had you look at your Bibles. The last part. Chris, if you can throw that map up there, and you can kind of see where Jesus lands after the storm on the lake, where he walks in the water. They cross, they land in Gennesaret, and that's where last week takes place, the discussion about clean and unclean. And then it says that they're going to head up to Tyre and Sidon. So this is Canaanite territory. If you kind of read your Old Testament, you'll know that the Canaanites often caused issues with the Israelites, right? But it wasn't Jewish, for the most part, Jewish territory. It was more of the Gentile area. But that is where Jesus, most of his ministry is dedicated into the Jewish populated areas, but now he kind of heads into Gentile territory. So there's a shift there, but it's here that we find faith in an unlikely place. Amen? So, amen. What are some of the characteristics, do you think, of great faith? Do you think you're a person of great faith? You know, we talked about Peter when they were on the lake, right? And, you know, they see Jesus and they think he's a ghost. They don't see who he is, right? So that tells you that their lives are dominated. It was dominated more by fear than faith. Peter's the only one that gets out of the boat, right? The others are safe, feel safe in the boat, and they don't venture out. What is great faith? What does it look like? Well, that's what we're going to explore a little bit more this morning. So let's just bow our heads in prayer, and then we'll dive into our passage here today. Father, we thank you for this day. I pray that you would take your word, apply it to our heart. May it come alive to us. It is your living word of God. And we just ask your blessing, and we ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. We're going to begin in verse 21 of chapter 15, and let's look at those together. It says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew, so he's leaving Gennesaret. He withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. So we looked at those. And a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him quietly, saying, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Is that what it says? What does it say? Crying out. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. So let's look a little closer at this. So there's a long history between the Israelites and Canaanites. They were not considered the friends of the Israelites. And so there was many battles that were fought in the Old Testament between the Canaanites and the Israelites, and skirmishes back and forth. Sometimes the Israelites, when they were serving God, came out on top. And then there was times when they would disobey that they would fall prey to the Canaanites. See, if you read the book of Judges, 1 and 2 Kings, you'll catch some of those stories there. One of the things we do want to catch, though, is that the Jewish people saw the Gentiles as unclean. Okay? Now, unclean didn't mean that they were necessarily sinful. It just means that they weren't. This idea of being clean and unclean has to do with worship and prepared to worship God and being able to come into the temple and to worship God. They weren't considered to be clean. If you could read the book of Leviticus, you'll find out there's a lot of things that made people clean and unclean. It doesn't have to do with sinfulness. It has to do with being preparedness to worship God. But the Jewish people considered these Gentiles unclean. In fact, they wouldn't even really go out of their way to engage or talk with or befriend a Gentile. Whether they're Canaanite, Philistine, whatever the case may be, they just did not go out of their way to reach them. And that becomes an issue even in the book of Acts after the day of Pentecost, because all of a sudden God begins to pour out His Spirit, and Peter goes to Cornelius' house, who was a Gentile. He was a Roman centurion. And God pours out His Holy Spirit upon them. And they say, wow, I guess God, when He says that He wanted to reach the whole world, I guess He meant the Gentiles too. Kind of like that light bulb came on, right? So the Jewish people, though, saw the Gentiles as unclean. They were outside the promises of God. So why did Jesus venture into Gentile territory? Maybe there was something that they would learn together about great faith, I think. Even though this woman was considered outside the Jewish faith, she cries out for, the first thing we see is she cries out for mercy. So we've been talking a lot about that in Matthew. Mercy and compassion, kind of the same word there. But she's crying out, say, God, have mercy on me. And on my daughter specifically, right? Have mercy on me. She pleads for compassion. Now, if you're father, mother, and your child is hurting, that kind of gets to your heart, right? You'll do a lot of things for your son or your daughter, right? And she cries out for mercy and compassion from God, from Jesus. We don't know how she knew about God. Because she was a Canaanite, a Gentile, she probably did not grow up going to Sunday school or church, all right? Or in the synagogue or in the temple. She probably had probably heard of the reports that were happening by the Sea of Galilee and Gennesaret of people being healed, and whether it was of healing or set free from demonic oppression, whatever the case is, she's probably heard reports of Jesus, and now Jesus is in her hometown. And she realizes, I think, that she is outside the promises of God, that she is not a Jewish person, but she cries out to God and saying, have mercy. And it's just kind of interesting that she says, have mercy on me, and she calls Jesus Lord. Okay, Lord means master. So she calls Him Lord, and then she says, Son of David. Now, Son of David, what's that all about? Was Jesus the Son of David? He was. He was a descendant of David. And that's the prophetic, that the Messiah would sit on David's throne. And that hasn't even been fulfilled yet, okay? And so the Jewish people were looking for this leader that would come, that would release them from oppression. And at that time, it was Roman oppression. And so they really saw, some of them had that aspiration that when Jesus was there that first time, that He was going to come, He was going to wipe out the Romans, He was going to establish His kingdom at that point. That's still yet to come. He came the first time to bring salvation. He's coming the second time to establish his kingdom on earth. But the prophecies are very clear that Jesus, the Messiah, would sit on David's throne in Jerusalem. And so she calls upon him and says, "Lord, Son of David." Now, what's ironic about all that is that the disciples and some of the other Jewish people that knew, the scribes and the Pharisees that knew Scripture, they knew the Old Testament, they didn't recognize that Jesus was the Messiah. But an outsider does. Isn't that kind of interesting? She recognized it. She says, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Have mercy on my daughter." She's suffering terribly from demonic oppression, possession. If you look at it literally in the original language, it means she's being demonized. All right, and we don't know what this was causing, but if you go through the Gospels, you'll find out demonic oppression or possession caused torment, it caused sickness, it caused insanity, it caused erratic behavior, even loss of speech and hearing. And in a lot of those cases, it says God, Jesus would heal them, but sometimes it was that he cast out the demon. When the demon was cast out, those things were resolved. They were healed in their body. Think of the demoniacs. Jesus lands by the Sea of Galilee, and these men are tormented. They're living in the caves. They didn't know what to do with them. The people didn't, so they just were content to leave them out there, and they kind of had beware signs, "Do not go down this road." Kind of like, you know, there's a mean dog up there. There's mean people up there. Don't go near there, you know. Everybody knew you don't go down that road because you could be attacked by these men. And Jesus met them. He delivered them from their torment and their suffering. In fact, one of them wanted to go and follow Jesus and become one of his disciples. We don't know what the consequences of this demonic oppression was causing on this young lady. All we know is that she was suffering terribly from this condition. And so she cries out to God. You know, how many have prayed to God? How many have cried out to God? Cried out to God. It's a little more desperation there, a little more passion involved, isn't there? It's one thing to pray to God. It's another thing to, when you cry out to God, there's emotion, there's intensity there. It's saying, "God, this is urgent. I'm crying out to you." And I have a feeling she was crying out, saying, "Jesus, have mercy on me, Son of David. Have mercy on my daughter." She's putting it all out there, folks. She doesn't care what people think. She doesn't care about her reputation at that moment. All she cares is that Jesus is there and her daughter's suffering. And she believes that Jesus can heal her daughter. The first thing I see, well, what keeps us from crying out to God at times? I don't know. Is it what people think? Will people think that we're needy or that we're crazy? I think people thought she was crazy. As we go along, you'll see, "Hey, send her away. She's out of her mind, Jesus. We don't want anything to do with her." But the first thing I think we see, and you can write it in your program, is that great faith is humble. Great faith is humble. You'll see that she's going to kneel down before Jesus. She cries out to God. She didn't care what other people thought. She cries out to God. She cries out to God and asks for mercy for her daughter. Faith, great faith is humble. We realize that we're up against something that we don't have the power to change. We cry out to God, dependent upon Him to intervene. We don't care what people think. We just want God's attention. And we seek His face. I think there are times that it calls for us crying out to God, whether it is for our family, whether it is for our nation, whether it's for our church, needs in our community. I think there are times where it calls for us to cry out to God, but it is that idea that we're not only going to God in prayer, but we're engaging an intensity in our life that it's more out there, right? It's one thing talking, it's another thing to be shouting, right? It's one thing to come before God in prayer and say, God, hear my needs. It's another thing to be, God, you know, hear, you know, there's some intensity there, right? Hear my prayer. Great faith cries out to God and is humble. Let's look at our second. Just move on, verses 23 through 25. Jesus hears her crying out, and he responds, doesn't he? Compassionate Jesus, loving Jesus. Isn't that who Jesus is? What does Jesus do? Jesus did not answer a word. Jesus, what's up with you? Did he just, you know, does that just blow your perception of who Jesus was? Jesus didn't answer a word. You know, but have there ever been times in your life where you've gone to God in prayer and you feel like God was silent? I think there are those times. Because God just wants to see, how is so-and-so going to respond? How are they going to respond? Do they have faith to trust me? How serious are they about coming before me? Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, Jesus, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. You know, the disciples, man, they're so compassionate and they're so merciful, aren't they? Jesus, get rid of her. She's a crazy lady, right? She's drawing attention to us. It's not, you know, send her away. She's probably demon-possessed or something, right? She's a crazy lady. Jesus responds finally. He says, I'm sent to the lost sheep of Israel. In other words, to the Jewish people. Now, we don't want to take too much away from that, but we do know that Jesus' ministry was primarily to the Jewish people. They were God's chosen people, but they were chosen to be a light to the rest of the world. It wasn't that God's plan of salvation was just to save the Jews. It was that the Jews could be a light to the rest of the world, just as we are to be a light to the rest of the world around us. So the Jewish people were to represent God and to be a light to the rest of the world, to show them how to live for God and to seek after him. And so Jesus says, I am sent to the lost sheep of Israel. End of case, right? End of story, right there. Does that end it? Then the woman came, and she knelt before the Lord. Wow. Doesn't take no for an answer, does she? But she comes down. I'm a little bit older, so I'm going to use the table. But comes down and kneels before Jesus, and she says, Lord, have mercy on my daughter. She's in terrible pain and suffering. Again, that humility, right? She's bold, but she does it in a humble way. She's persistent. She doesn't take no for an answer. So she comes humbly, she kneels before the Lord Jesus, the feet of Jesus, and says, have mercy on my daughter. You see, the great faith is not only humble, but it is also persistent. Isn't it? That's the second point. Great faith is persistent. Now, I don't know if that messes with your idea of what faith is. Shouldn't Jesus answer us the first time we call out to him and pray to him? That doesn't seem to be the case, especially in this situation. She's being turned away by the disciples. Jesus is silent. And he says, you know what? I'm not here to help you. I'm here to help the Jewish people. But she still comes anyway, and she kneels before Jesus and says, hear my prayer. Great faith is persistent. How often have you given up on your prayers because you didn't get an immediate answer? You brought that prayer to God, didn't hear an answer, didn't see that prayer answered, and so you give up, right? You say, oh, God must not care about me, must not have been on God's top priority list, right? And so it wasn't important. And we give up. I don't know why God, when we get to heaven, maybe we'll understand that better, but God appreciates when we are persistent, when we come boldly before him and say, God, I'm serious about this. What we see earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, we already covered it, but to ask, seek, and knock, and those are all active tense, so that we're supposed to keep on asking, keep on knocking until the door is open. Okay, until we get the answer, until we hear from God. God is not put off by our persistence, rather he celebrates it. And I just was thinking, if you raised kids, we raised three boys. I think kids are persistent to some degree, but Mark was our persistent one. So if you know Mark, you know that you know a little bit about him. But he was our persistent one. He just didn't take no for an answer, and he just kept on coming at you until either he got his way or he got a real solid no that, you know, it's not going to happen, Mark, right? But he was persistent. We didn't hate him because of that. In fact, it's a strength that he possesses, because in life often we face obstacles, we face hurdles, and the world says, no, you can't do that, right? Persistence means you plow through that, right? You go through hardships, you go through difficulties, close doors, and you keep moving ahead. That's what this woman did. She didn't take no for an answer, and she had persistence in her prayer and in her faith. And I want to challenge you in your own prayer life that don't give up on your prayers. There's some prayers in my journal that are the same every day. Why? Because God hasn't answered those yet. I don't think it's because God isn't hearing me. I think it's because it's just not, the time isn't right. Praying for my boys and stuff, things to happen in their life. Some of those things just, it's not the time is right, but I know when the time is right, God is hearing my prayers, but I keep bringing it before him. God, don't forget about this, right? It's there. Persistence. Great faith is persistent. We see this in this woman that is raised outside of what we would call the Jewish tradition, but even just this God-fearing tradition. It's unlikely that we would find great faith there, right? But she has humility and she has persistence, and she comes before God. Well, it doesn't end there. Verse 26, the woman replies, it is not right, Jesus replied, it's not right to take children's bread and to toss it to the dogs. Right? Is that what he said? Yes, Lord, she said, but even dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Right? Now, if you brought my yellow lab in here, he would be having a heyday, all right? Now, he doesn't call her a yellow lab dog. He calls her a small dog, a little dog. And dogs were treated differently back in that culture. In fact, if you go into the Caribbean and other places, dogs are more of this guard dog. They're not really pets. But he doesn't call her that. He calls her a little dog. But still, he called her a dog, right? It's not right for me to give the children's bread to the dog. She's persistent. Yes, Lord, but even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed that very hour. You know, this woman had every reason to be discouraged. She had every reason to quit. She could have been offended by the words of Jesus. She could have... That Jesus, he just doesn't treat me right. Did you hear what he said to me? She put it on Facebook and Twitter. Jesus just said I'm a dog. Right? It just went viral. Right? She could have done that, folks. People still do that in the church today. God didn't hear my prayer right away. She could have left, but she responds to Jesus and very confidently. And so that's your third point. Great faith is confident. See, she wasn't claiming to get something that wasn't hers. She realized she was a Gentile. She realized she was a Canaanite. She realized she was outside of the Jewish faith. But she still had a faith. She'd heard the reports. And there was some kind of faith there that was great enough that she realized, I'm not claiming to have the food off the table. Just give me a crumb off the floor. That's all I'm asking for, Jesus. Just give me a crumb off the floor and have mercy on my daughter. She was confident. She recognized who she was. And she stood her ground. And God honored her faith. and her daughter was healed that very hour. You know, faith comes from unlikely places, like Tyre and Sidon. Maybe even comes from a place like Crete, Nebraska, where there's people that come before and cry out to God, and they do it in a way that is humble, in a way that is persistent, in a way that is confident, knowing that God is faithful to hear their prayer. We have musicians, if you'd come. This morning, I just ask you, how is your faith? You don't have to be a Bible expert to be a person of great faith. This lady, from what we can gather, was not a scholar. She wasn't even raised with a lot of biblical heritage. So you don't have to be a Bible expert. You don't have to have a high IQ, although she seemed to be very quick with her, right? Very quick to respond. You don't have to have walked with God all your life. We don't get the impression that this lady had. I do think you need to be humble. I do think you need to be persistent. And I think you need to be confident in God's love for you, and that even in the midst where you sometimes doubt, where God, why aren't you hearing that prayer? We need to stand confidently upon His Word and say, God, this is what You've promised. This is what You've said in Your Word. And I come persistent, I come humbly, and I come confidently before Your throne. In fact, that's what Hebrews says, right? It says we are to approach confidently before the throne of grace that we may find help in our time of need. Hebrews chapter 4. We are to come confidently before Him to find help in our time of need, because we have a great high priest who's gone before us. It's 4 verse 16. Of Hebrews, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we might receive mercy, find grace to help us in our time of need. Wow, that just dovetails right with that, doesn't it? Wow. God cares about us. And I believe He's looking for people of great faith that cry out to Him. I think many times we're too worried about people think. What are people going to think of me if I cry out to God? If I put it all out there and seek His face? It doesn't matter what people think of you. All it matters is that God hears you. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Praise God. I'm going to maybe ask you to do something really weird this morning. I've never done this. But maybe if you're needing God to answer a prayer, if you're not a germophobic or something like that, but if you're needing God to answer a prayer in your own life, I'm just going to find you to just find one of those pieces of bread on the floor. You don't have to eat it. But pick up a crumb just as a symbolic that you have a request within your heart that you want to bring before God this morning. So, if that's you this morning, I'm just going to give you a moment to do that. If you need more, I'll throw more out there. Lord, this morning we just come before You. The greatest need that we have in our life is our salvation, Lord God. You said if anyone cries out to You for forgiveness of sins and mercy, Lord God, You hear us. And that applies to everyone here today, that if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God, if that involves any of us here today, Lord, we don't know if we're going to heaven or to hell. We can know that today by by calling out to you and saying, God, come into my heart, forgive me of my sin, cleanse me from my unrighteousness, and be my Lord and my Savior. And Lord, I pray if we have a piece of bread in our hands this morning, Lord God, we are who we are. We're not God. We're just a sinner saved by grace. We don't deserve any of the blessings or the promises of God because we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of your glory, God. But we're like that Canaanite woman that is crying out to you saying, God, we need an answer to our prayer. We're crying out to you this morning, Lord God, in humility, in persistence, and in confidence because of your word. Because you say in your word that we can boldly approach the throne of grace because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Not because of our own self-worth, not because of our good and righteousness, but because of Jesus. We can boldly go before your throne of grace to find help in our time of need. Lord God, that is the admonition of your word, Lord God. And we stand upon your word this morning. We stand confidently upon it. You know the prayer of our heart this morning. Whether it's for a loved one, whether it's for a child, whether it's for the salvation of a loved one, whether it's for financial provision. Lord God, you know those things within our heart this morning. And we bring it before you, God. We ask it in your name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to close with that chorus, Let Faith Arise. It's not like I lift my hands, but it talks about our faith arising. Make that your prayer this morning and have Gary, if you'd come, and Jill, if you'd help me out. If you have a prayer request this morning, we just want to agree with you this morning, whether it's for salvation or just agree in prayer about a need in your own life. We're going to agree to God. Just sing that chorus together. Sing it with all your heart this morning. And let's give God praise. Let faith arise in your own heart. For some of you, that message struck pretty close to home. But that's what the Word of God is supposed to do. It's supposed to meet us where the rubber meets the road. Amen? God's faithful. God's faithful. Father, this morning, as we leave this place, may we go in faith. Lord God, increase our faith and make us people of great faith. Faith that is humble, that is persistent, that is confident in you and your word, your promises. And Lord God, I'm just expecting healings. I'm expecting you to provide healing in relationships and body, provision, Lord God. An answered prayer in many different ways, Lord God, as our faith arises within our own heart. Lord, go with us this week. Let us be the light of the world. Let us be a blessing to those around us, Lord God. May people see Jesus in our life, Lord God. And let us share the story of God's goodness and His gratefulness, His provision in our own lives, Lord God. Let us not keep it in, but let us share your goodness and your love with the rest of the world. We give you the thanks this day, dear God, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Shake hands. Say, be a person of great faith this week. Amen. Amen.